see so many present, and especially in what can traditionally be a meeting night in many places. We make you all welcome. The meetings continue through until Friday, and you will be very welcome if you're able to come back on these further nights in the will of God. Now, all the reading tonight will be from the first book of Samuel, and first of all in chapter 11. The first book of Samuel and chapter 11 and verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 13. And Saul said, "There shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel." Then said Samuel to the people, "Come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. And Samuel said unto all Israel, "Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you." And then he rehearses some of the history. Verse 6 goes back to the days of Moses and Aaron, and verse 8 coming out of Egypt, and then verse 9 and 10, the days of the judges, and so on. Now verse 12, "And when ye saw that Nahash the king of Ammon came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, whom ye have desired, and behold the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." And then Samuel calls for thunder and harvest. Now, verse 22, "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, or ye shall be swept away, both ye and your king." Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, there was an invasion of the Philistines that we are told about in those next verses, the end of verse 7. "As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? Saul said, Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel for ever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue." Now, very briefly in chapter 15. Verse 12. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Samuel said, "What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears?" Verse 26. And Samuel said unto the Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Now, just will you go back to chapter 11 again? Verse 14 and verse 15. Then said Samuel to the people, Come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Now, those last verses are our main text, but I had to read the other passages just to give you a brief flavor of the context of this particular incident. As you know, those who have been here on Saturday evening, and those who have heard the announcements, the subject that we are seeking to keep before us in the ministry meetings at the present time is the subject of spiritual renewal. I said some things by way of introduction on the earlier evening, and I don't want to repeat that, except to say again that if the feeling of my own heart is any reflection of the feeling of your heart, I think we would together express a great need of spiritual renewal. As we move into another year, we wouldn't like to, if we're allowed the 12 months of this year, we wouldn't like them to be a replay of the 12 months of 2004. We would like to do a little bit better. You see, most who are here tonight, we attend a lot of meetings. We go through a great deal of emotion. We sing a lot of hymns. We're very much au fait with the mechanics and the nuts and bolts of Christianity and assembly life. That I feel we have become so familiar. We have become so formal. We are so hampered by the chains of custom and maybe also the chains of carnality that the crying out need is for spiritual renewal. In the hearts of many of us, we just go through the same prayer. You have the same clauses. You have the same quotation. And we do have to repeat prayers because the same needs exist. I'm not talking about that. But everything is so stilted and stiff and stale that I imagine that the secret of the expansion that we would love to know that way will be found in renewal this way, right within our own hearts. It's a nice subject to talk about, but then the problem comes that while spiritual renewal can be obtained and while it can be known, it can only be had at a very high cost. Some of the things that we will have to forego in order to get renewal are things that I suspect we love too much. Some of the attitudes that we have adopted that will have to change if we are going to have spiritual renewal are attitudes that are so deep-seated that instead of talking about spiritual renewal, we maybe would need to talk about spiritual revolution, because it'll be a mighty change if those attitudes are in any way adjusted. Well, that's the kind of thing that we're thinking about. Those are the concerns that we have And may God grant, as we start into a new year, that we may get a kind of a clean sheet, and that we may approach it with freshness, and that God will breathe upon us in mighty power. Now the subject before me, I'll not go through the subjects for other nights, I mentioned them on Saturday night, but I want to get through some of this material. The subject before us tonight is the renewal of the kingdom. The renewal of the kingdom. That's exactly the expression that we have read here in chapter 11 of 1 Samuel. When Samuel says to the people, and to King Saul included, he says, come, and let us go to Gilgal, and renew the kingdom there. It's a very important expression, and we want to investigate some of its meaning and some of its implications tonight. I'll mention a little bit of the course that I intend to take. I want to think about the what of renewal. What was it that needed to be renewed? I'll say a little bit about the when of renewal. When, it was very significant, exactly when Samuel issued this call. He did it, and it was perfectly timed. I want to say something about the why of renewal. Why was this renewal needed? You say, well, sure, Saul had just been king a very short time. Saul had just been king a matter of weeks. Talking about renewal already? You say, Samuel, I doubt, man dear, you're a little bit too quick on the your exhortation here. Give it a while to see. No, he said, you're just king a few weeks. But he said, come, let us renew the kingdom. I want to say something quite emphatically in the meeting about the word of renewal. He said, it can't be done here. He said, let us travel 25 miles down to Gilgal. Why Gilgal? Why does that become the place of renewal? And we'll investigate that in a minute or two. And then when Samuel got them to Gilgal, he preached his farewell sermon. And it was a fine bit of preaching. He didn't curry their favor. He didn't speak to them in the platitudes of an old man. He preached a very stringent message, and he was faithful to the very end. And in his message, he gave them the word of renewal, and he clearly delineated for them the way of renewal. And before we go in a few minutes, I want to speak a word or two about the great weakness in this renewal. Now, come. What about coming? Why have you come to the meeting tonight? Come to Ballymacarrig. On this early day of January 2005. And let us renew the kingdom there. If the kingdom was renewed tonight in this hall, in the heart of everyone, right from where I'm standing to the good folks along the back row there at the back wall, if that kingdom was renewed in this audience, well, I think it would have tremendous repercussions for the rest of this year. Now, I said the water renewal. The first question that we have to consider in this challenge of the prophet Samuel is this: what kingdom was it? What kingdom? Well, you say, sure, anybody that reads or anybody that has a knowledge of 1 Samuel, even in a very, very shallow way, anybody knows it was the kingdom of King Saul. Are you sure? Because I'm not. I'm not. I don't really think that King Saul's kingdom needed to be renewed. As I said a few minutes ago, it was just a few weeks old. The cracks the cracks that shortly would appear, and very big cracks at that, one or two of them I may mention later, those cracks hadn't begun to appear yet, so that Saul's kingdom didn't need to be renewed. Whose kingdom then needed to be renewed? I take it was God's kingdom. You see, I have to do a little bit of the tape rewind here just for a minute. And some of the younger Christians in the meeting, you may not just be altogether familiar with the earlier chapters of this book. Older believers are very familiar. I can't go into details, but I must say this. If you go back to about chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, the nation and the elders and those who had official positions, they came to the prophet Samuel. They said, "Samuel, we want you to make us a king." Samuel felt greatly snubbed with that, because he had looked after them, he had guided them in their warfare, he had guided them in their legislation, he had spoken the word of the Lord to them for years, he had lived an exemplary life, he had carried the nation and its welfare upon his heart for decades. Suddenly they come, say, "Samuel, you're not a bad fellow, but we want a king." He starts to pray. The Lord softens the blow for him a little bit. He says, "Samuel," he says, "do you know what really happened there?" He says, "They didn't reject you." He says, "They have rejected me." And he said, "They have asked to have a human king." And he said, "That's as much as to say that I, their heavenly king, am not sufficient." And he said, "They want a human figurehead now." He said, "I have been their king. I have been their king right away back from the days of the Exodus. I brought them across the Red Sea. I shepherded them through the wilderness. I brought them across the river into the land. I helped them in all the battles through the hundreds of years of the judges. I have brought them until this day as their king." And he said, "Now they say we've had enough of heaven's king. We want a human king." He said, "Samuel, the problem is it's me." He said, they have become dissatisfied with my authority. And instead of submitting to heaven's authority, he said, they are now going to recognize mere man-made human authority. He said, "Samuel, give them what they want." Samuel did that. Saul was picked, anointed, appointed, and all the details in those intervening chapters 9, 10, and 11. Now Samuel calls them together. He said, "You've got your king. You've got your human king." He said, "Just before I pass out of public office," he said, "I want to ask you, would you ever think of renewing your allegiance to the heavenly king? Would you ever think of coming to Gilgal and once again, in solemn convocation before the Lord, pledge your loyalty and pledge your allegiance to God as the King of Heaven?" And he said, "If you do," he said, "you will find that your loyalty to Him will be the secret of your success as a nation." Can I ask, as I just leave that for a second, what about ourselves renewing the kingdom of God in our lives tonight? Do you take the kingdom of God seriously? You say, what on earth are you talking about? Well, it might help to focus our minds, because with this call of Samuel, there's a verse in the New Testament that we know much better, or at least we think we know it better. And it comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus. Concerning this very same subject, You know what he said to a group of people one day? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, the first thing I want to do with that verse is rescue it. Because it's not a verse to sinners. You have preached it that way, some of you, dear brethren, and I have preached it that way myself, and as far as the principle is concerned, we have absolutely no argument. But Matthew 6 and verse 33 is not telling sinners to seek salvation first. Matthew 6 and 33 is telling those who are already in the kingdom as disciples to seek the kingdom of God first. That is, there's to be a passion. They're to seek it. They're already in it. They're to seek the honor of the kingdom. They're to seek the advancement of the kingdom. They are to seek the glory of the kingdom. It is to be a passion. The kingdom of God is not only to be a passion in their affections, it's to be a priority in their activities. For they're not just to seek it, they're to seek it first. It also involves a principle, because they are to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. That is, these people in Matthew 6 to whom the Lord Jesus is speaking. He said, "One of the great matters that I'm interested in the people who are involved in my kingdom is that in their lives they have practical righteousness. They do what is right. And the authority of my kingdom, it is exhibited in their attitudes, in their actions, in their associations." And he said, wherever they are, whether it's Monday morning, whether it's Friday evening, whether it's Sunday, or whether it's Tuesday, he said, the subjects of my kingdom are marked by a passion, with a priority for the principle of righteousness. And he said, that will all come in a package that will be guaranteed by a promise. For he said, if they have those marks that I have just mentioned, he said, there will be added into their lives. He said, the King of Heaven will see to it that their lives are marked by a fullness that nothing else can give. Now, can I ask some of you, dear brother, last year, what was your priority? Come on now. Was your priority your business? Well, you need to look after your business. And I'm not scolding, but I want to say this. Your priorities were wrong. May God grant that this January evening we might renew the kingdom. In your business, was your priority making a pound? You say, and I made a brave few of them. That's fine. I hope they were all righteous. No diddling, no fiddling. Oh, you say, I saw a shortcut for a quick pound. You see, those who are seeking the honor of the kingdom of God, it's marked, and they are marked by righteousness. Was your priority your education? Was your priority your family? Did I in any way sacrifice the interests of the kingdom and cut the corners in order to gratify my own little empire? You see, I feel, dear people, and I'm speaking to myself first of all, I feel that as we make our journey into this new year, that we need to renew the kingdom. Because our priorities are not as clearly classified as they should be. That's why Samuel said to Saul, and he said, Saul, He said, you've just started a few weeks, but he said, I want to tell you, do you see if your administration is going to carry on? He said, we'll have to go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom. I think I said on Saturday night about New Year's resolutions and all that kind of thing. I'm not advocating that, but I do feel that as far as we are concerned in this meeting, it would stand us in good stead if we renewed our vows, if we afresh pledged our loyalty. Younger folks that are scattered throughout the audience, can I appeal to you, as God gives you the trusteeship of the time of 2005, you try and pledge before the Lord that by His help, you will use every day in loyalty to His kingdom. Renew the kingdom and its principles and its power and its priority within our affections and within our wills. But then you might say, as far as this particular call was concerned, you've told us that what was to be renewed was the pledge of loyalty to God's kingdom. Why was this renewal needed? This is the why of renewal. You see, when they requested a king, there's a little bit that I omitted. I deliberately omitted it. Because when they said to Samuel, give us a king, they added a little piece. They said, Samuel, will you give us a king like the nations? Just like the nations. The Moabites have a king. The Philistines have a king. Maybe more than one. The Ammonites have a king. The Amalekites have a king. Samuel, in the world of international affairs, we are the odd people out. Give us a king like the nation. Now, again, I'm going to have to test your Bible knowledge just for a little bit. I might say in inverted commas, for a couple of nights we'll be on New Testament material, very well known. So if I'm stretching things a little bit tonight in your knowledge, don't become unduly discouraged. It'll be easier on some of the other nights. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, you know what He said to them? He said, I have brought you out of Egypt. I bear you on eagle's wings. I brought you to Myself. And He said, ye shall be unto Me a kingdom of priests. And He said, as you keep My word, ye shall be a special treasure above all the peoples of the earth. Now He said, I'm bringing you out not just to be another nation, but He said, men could create another nation. He said, I'm bringing you out to be a people as My kingdom upon earth. You'll be a special treasure above the nation. And He said, as you acknowledge My authority in your lives and in your behavior, He said, you will become a nation absolutely distinctive. And He said, all the other nations of the world will have their attention attracted to you when they see that you're so different. And they'll begin to ask themselves the question, do you see those Israelites? They're altogether different from us. And they seem to be a far better people than we are. And they don't have the structures, and they don't have the things that we have. They're altogether different. I wonder why it is. And He said, they'll begin to inquire. And as they inquire, why you are so different, He said, they'll begin to discover the reason you are different is that God is amongst you. And you're the kingdom of God. But now these people say, ah, well, Samuel, we've had that old idea long enough that God wants us to be different, and He wants us to be distinct, and He wants us to be His kingdom. Look, Samuel, it's a burden to bear. This whole business of being distinct and separate, we are finding it an irksome burden. He said, we want to have a new identity as well as a new authority. He said, instead of having the authority of an unseen king in heaven, we want to have the authority of a seen king on earth. And he said, we want to have a new identity. Instead of being different from the nations, he said, Samuel, would you not make us a king like the nation? That's why Samuel says, come to Gilgal and renew the kingdom. He said, you people need to get a fresh vision of what God intended you to be. Without going into it too much tonight, because it will filter into some of our considerations in another night or two, you know, dear Christians, that one of the great pressure points of our present testimony and existence as the people of God on earth in these days, the big pressure point is this: to make Christians as like the world as possible. Make assemblies like denominations. Make Christians just like worldlings in their dress, in their ambitions, in their appearance, in their association, in everything. I can see a concerted drive so that we might become assimilated, that we may bend and blend, whereas God saved us to be different, to be a testimony for his glory. Now, until we recover, I hope you get these two strands, until we recover a sense of authority, why are we different? Because tonight in this little building here, in County Down, is it, or wherever, a building in County Down, Northern Ireland, the reason we have a distinct identity as a different people is because we bow to the authority of a man whom the world cannot see. This nation of Israel on earth, they submitted to the unseen King of heaven. Dear Christian friends, tonight, may God grant that we might renew the kingdom, and in this meeting, that we might pledge our will to the undivided service of the unseen Lord of glory, because that's what really makes the difference. Let us renew the kingdom. Have there not been compromises in your kingdom life and in my kingdom life? If you let me for a minute go back to, yes, I have a minute to do it. If I go back to Matthew chapter 6, that very passage I was at, where the Lord Jesus was seeking to impress upon his disciples what it really means to be in the kingdom, to seek it first, and to seek it first as a matter of righteousness. He said, in that whole chapter, he said, don't be like the nation. Don't be like the nation. He says, I want you to be different. What are the nations like? He spells it out very clearly, very simply. He said, as far as the heathen are concerned, or the Gentiles, he calls them, as far as the Gentiles are concerned, he says, they spend their time wondering about, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? He says, these are their ambitions. These are their priorities. All these things the Gentiles seek. But he says, you people will have richer ambitions. He says, you'll seek first the kingdom of God. I don't need to remind the dear believers here, and I'm not overemphasizing it, but the world where we live, you take last year, you take this year, there's a tremendous emphasis placed in our world upon what people eat and what people wear. The latest fashions and the biggest banquets and the largest parties. Shows and spreads. Is it all out there? Is that all out there? The pursuit of material things, the pursuit of status, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of All these things that I've mentioned, I'm not listing them just in it. Is that all out there? All these things the Gentiles seek after. Tell me, dear Christians, as we look back on 2000, to renew the kingdom, that we might refocus on where our priorities really should be. And instead of being like the nations, in fact, in that very same chapter, the Lord not only looks upon the Gentile world, but he takes a look at the Jewish world. He said, you know the Jews and their prayers. And big, long prayer. He says, don't be like them. And he said, you know, when they're giving, they put it into a big trumpet and they make a great big fanfare so that everybody sees they're giving. He said, don't be like them. And he said, when they're fasting, they change their garments and they have long faces so that everybody notices it. He said, don't be like them. He said, don't be like the Gentiles in seeking after material things. Seek the kingdom of God. And he said, don't be like the Jews in being spiritual stuntmen, just acting for an audience, making your spiritual contributions big when there are plenty of people watching. You know, I'm saying this, dear brothers and sisters, these things really hit us hard, because these are areas when, because of the world in which we live, I'm not so much blaming people, I'm just saying it's very, very difficult not to have some of those attitudes rubbing off. Rubbing off. And as those attitudes rub off, day by day, month by month, year by year, we absorb a little bit more of that attitude and that lifestyle, we become more like the world. And gradually, we lose our identity and we become a group of people in the world, and our testimony has practically no impact whatsoever. And that's what Samuel was saying. He said, that's what needs to be renewed, Saul, the authority of God's kingdom. And he said, the reason it needs to be renewed is that those people chose you to be like the nations. He says, God wants you to be unlike the nations and to be for his glory. Where are we going to do it? Well, you'll notice you needn't look at your Bible, but just listen, I'll read those two verses. The two verses that I read twice, I'll read them again. If you haven't your Bible open, just listen carefully. And I'll give you a little exercise. The word Gilgal is mentioned a number of times. And also, when Samuel is speaking, he uses the little adverb, there. There, that is there at Gilgal. Now, as I read these two verses, you count up how many Gilgals you have and how many times the word there is mentioned. Samuel said to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Gilgal rejoiced greatly. Whom should I ask? 7 times in 2 verses. It's there. But Samuel, we are away up here in the northern part of the land, and it's a fair wee bit. He said, it's there. In fact, just again as a little aside, I think that this is one of the reasons it's not Saul's kingdom. Because when Samuel anointed Saul king, or at least appointed Saul king, it was done at a place called Mizpah. And if he was going to renew Saul's kingdom, it would appear sensible to me that he would say, let us go back to Mizpah. It's not Saul's kingdom. He says it's God's kingdom, and we need to go back to Gilgal, right away down into the Jordan Valley.
You say, do you mean, Samuel, to renew the kingdom, we're going to have to go down? But why down? Why down to Gilgal?
Well, again, some of the older Christians in the meeting, you know far better than I do, that when the children of Israel came across the River Jordan, Gilgal was their first camping place. The very first place that they camped.
He says, Saul, if this kingdom of the Lord is going to be renewed, and if we are going to become a people with fresh authority and with a renewed identity, he said, we'll have to get back to first principles. Right where we started.
Ach, you see, something have a bit of sense. Sure, you're talking about something that was 500 years ago. We have moved on from that.
Things have changed since those days. You're not taking us away back to what happened in the days of Joshua, are you? We have far better ideas, and we have much more experience in government and thinking than away back in those days in Joshua. Sure, they were still intense in those days. We are much more sophisticated.
He said, back to Gilgal. Am I making an obsolete appeal? Am I antiquated? Am I old-fashioned? You make your own judgment, dear fellow believers. Is it not time we got back to first principle?
Are we not beginning to adopt in the work of the Lord many of the high-flown ideas that are popularized in religion around us? And we are abandoning, I'm not saying it Bellamy Garrick, I'm speaking in the most general term, we're beginning to abandon, for the sake of being stylish, and with it, and up to date, and modern, and on the cutting edge.
I tell you, don't be talking to me about being on the cutting edge. As far as I can see, there are not too many assemblies cutting many edges.
And we want to be really with it.
Oh, I'm making a... Do you see, if we would get back to first principles, the kingdom of God in our lives personally renewed, our oath pledged to serve the Lord with priority and the acknowledgement of His Lordship, and get back to first principles, and I'm using a worldly term now, or at least they have taken it, back to basics, I believe that in 2005, we could see kingdom power again unleashed amongst us as the Lord's people. Thank God for every evidence of power there is. It's not all lost. I'm not speaking tonight as a pessimist. I'm trying to... Would you say any more about Gilgal? Yes. Gilgal was a very, very significant place. As I've already said, when they crossed over the River Jordan and pitched their camp at Gilgal, the Bible tells us that those stones which they had brought up out of the River Jordan, they pitched them at Gilgal because there, that was at Gilgal, there the Lord rolled away the reproach of Egypt. You say, what is that? What is that? What is the reproach of Egypt? Well, As long as the children of Israel are wandering about in the wilderness, the Egyptians did a lot of talking. They said, their God took them out with a great flurry. Took them out with a great flurry, and that fellow Moses, he said he was going to bring them into the promised land, and he took them out and marched them out like the mightiest army ever was seen on earth. And he was just going to take them and plant them in the land of milk and honey. And that was 40 years ago, and sure, they're still walking about lost. Not much of a God, that. He could bring them out here, but he couldn't bring them in there. And Egypt talked. And they laughed about it. And they made a joke of it. But do you see now that the Jordan is opened and let them in, and they've put the stones of the 12 tribes on the first camping place in the new land? As soon as that pillar was raised, the mouths of the Egyptians were closed because God had brought them in. And they're no longer wandering. They're no longer wandering. They're warriors right in the land across the Jordan. They have a focus. They have found a homeland. They know where they are. They're not going around in circles wandering and the Egyptians laughing at them. Might I say tonight that there's nobody gives so much room for the ungodly to talk as a Christian that's just wandering. Younger folks, again, my appeal is to you, because as I often say in meetings, we have a great feeling for young Christians in the sense that we see them as the potential for the future. And I would love tonight in my little message to appeal to you to renew the kingdom of God in your life and to put the interests of God first and don't wander about. We have a lot of poor folks just wander. Slip into an odd meeting. Slip into an odd disco. Slip into an odd Lord's Supper. Dodge into a cinema. That's trying to do the double. That's wandering. That makes the ungodly laugh. And the ungodly say, if they have to come here, there mustn't be enough in Christ to satisfy. Tell you, let us show them a clean pair of heels. Let the Jordan roll between us and them, and let them see that the wilderness of sin is gone for good, and we are Canaan possessors, and we are heirs of the land of God. And Gilgal, it was the place where there was a clean break, and they crossed over, and all the wandering was finished. Second thing I'll say about Gilgal is this. It's the place where the flesh was judged. It wasn't only the place of crossing. It was the place of cutting. Is it any wonder Samuel said, let us renew the kingdom of Gilgal? Tell me, people, would we need any self-judgment? I'll make a confession with you. I'm a dab hand at judging other people. I could square the country up. And I have a tongue that could be as critical as anyone's tongue. And these spectacles on my face, they have given me a marvelous facility to see other people's faults. We are great people at sitting round the fire and cleaning up the country and judging others. But I would say if we had half an hour self-judgment in the presence of God, the kingdom would be renewed. I remember as a boy reading in one of William Kelly's books a very, very far-reaching statement. It stuck in my mind and has lodged there and resurfaced many a time over many years. He said, before the Israelites ever brought a sword to bear upon the Canaanites, they brought the sharp, flinty knife to bear upon themselves. That is, the people who conquered the Canaanites were the people who cut the flesh in themselves. We have a great deal now, and again, it'll come up again in more practical things. We have a great deal of carnality amongst us, brothers and sisters. Now, we better be honest. We are fooling ourselves. We have a great deal of carnality, and we are world bordering. We're going across the Jordan over to the Moabitish side with the things that I have mentioned. And on this side, we have carnality. May God grant that we'll cross over and we'll cut off. It's not only a place of separation, it was a place of self-judgment. And as soon as that was done, the place that was a place of cutting and a place of cursing, it became a place of the corn. They got the old corn of the land. Aye. Ah, there's corn in Canaan. There's corn that has been stored up in Canaan before we ever reached it. That's the point. And that, some of you wonder, how does the old corn of the land represent a risen Christ? The old corn of the land was the corn that was there in the barns before the children of Israel ever crossed over. And blessed be God, before ever a Christian needed it, God had already placed his Son in glory, risen at God's right hand. And as a greater man said, set your affections on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. May God grant that we feed on Christ. A lot of our substitutes, a lot of substitutes about the Christian's homes, a lot of material and the nourishing quality of it would be greatly in doubt. I don't think we really enjoy Christ as much as a previous generation did. I'm talking about enjoying. I'm not talking about Bible readings. I dabble in Bible readings. And I go into the nuts and bolts of Bible study. And once in a while, I take a look at one or two technicalities. And the accentuation of monosyllabic in clinics and all that kind of thing. Once in a while. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about enjoying. Meet a brother, and you hear him rise on Lord's Day morning, and the quality of his worship for 5 minutes, he'd not need 20 minutes to do it, the quality of his worship for 5 minutes lets you know that from the previous Monday to Friday, he was feeding on the old corn of the law, the rich fare. He says, we'll renew the kingdom at Gilgal, the place of cutting, the place of corn, the place of circumcision, the place of crossing over. And when Joshua and the camper at Gilgal, the captain of the Lord appeared with a sword drawn in his hand. He says, Joshua, take your shoes off. He says, who are you, Lord? Whose side are you on? He says, are you on our side or are you on their side? He says, Joshua, I didn't come here to take sides. He says, I'm not on any side. I'm the Lord. Take your shoes. Joshua, the mighty captain, the years of experience behind him, he takes his shoes off. He says, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. Separation. Sustenance. Self-judgment. Submission. To the captain of the Lord's host. That's why Samuel said to Saul, he said, let us renew the kingdom at Gilgal. I conclude without finishing. I'll not talk about Samuel's sermon there, the great word that he gave. But he did tell them in no unmistakable terms. He says, now, even though you've got this king, he said, if he keeps the word of the Lord and obeys what the Lord tells him and does exactly according to the word of the Lord's commandment, and if he submits to the rule of heaven, he says, even though you made a mistake in appointing him, he said, if he submits to the rule of heaven, he said, his kingdom will continue. Jim, how are you going to get on? You see, why is this part of the Lord is giving you a second chance, boy? You shouldn't be there because you're the people's choice. But the Lord says he'll go on with you. He told you at Gilgal, Samuel told you that if you obey the Lord and submit to his rule, obey his word, hearken to his voice, your kingdom will continue. You say, it's very kind of the Lord to give you a second chance, Saul. The kingdom of the Lord has been renewed. The Bible tells us in the next chapter, he had reigned a year. A year. Just a year now. And the first test comes. first test comes. The Philistines invade the land. Samuel told him, he said, wait for me 7 days. And he said, when I come, we'll offer the sacrifices and the battle can begin. So Saul's waiting. The Philistines are just across the valley. Sunday goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning. Samuel still hasn't turned up. He's getting a bit fidgety and edgy. It's lunchtime on Saturday. Samuel says, I'll be there 7 days. You wait 7 days according to the word of the Lord, and I come. And he said, you'll be victorious. Saturday afternoon, boys, some of the men are going away. He said, we're going to lose this battle. You wait any longer. You're a fool. You're a fool. Listen to that old fella. Sure, he's nearly done. And the soldiers are starting to go away. We're going to miss a strategic move. They're going home. It's a lost cause, waiting any longer. You better move and spring a quick surprise. And the Samuel says, 7 days. At last, with the pressure of circumstances, Saul moves and he offers the sacrifice. And the sacrifice smoke has hardly started to rise until appearing across the corner of the hill, who comes old Samuel. He says, look, Saul. He said, God gave you the second chance if you would obey his word, submit to his rule. He said, you fail, and your kingdom shall not continue. And I'll give you folks, I'll stop with this. Where did that happen? Where did that happen? Where Saul couldn't wait. The patience test of obedience was too much for him. Where did it happen? You say up at Jerusalem. No. It just happened at Gilgal. He couldn't judge the flesh. He couldn't wait God's time. I'll not develop it at this stage in the meeting. But you know, waiting God's time is one of the biggest tests that nearly all the faithful in the Bible had to endure. Abraham found it difficult to wait God's time. Even Joseph. The nation often found it difficult to wait God's time. Sometimes God brings us into circumstances where there's a human crisis and the pressure is on. And we are being coerced by circumstances to make a human move. Dear brethren, no matter how much pressure there is, may God give us grace to stick to the Bible. Because that's the only way the kingdom can be renewed. And it's the only way the kingdom can be maintained. He said, Saul, it's over. And it's over now. And he said, the God that gave you a second chance, he has terminated your stewardship. And he said he'd give the kingdom to a neighbor of yours that is better than you. If we fail, dear brethren and sisters, remember God has other servants that will carry on the cause. May he grant that we'll be amongst those that will try to be faithful. What about renewing the kingdom? Just one final appeal as we close this meeting. What about renewing the kingdom in our conscience? And the corners that we have cut, and the things we have said, and the places we have gone, and the hobbies that we've engaged in, and the holidays that we have supported by thousands of pounds, and the squandering of kingdom time, and kingdom energy, and kingdom money, that has left 2004 finish in poverty. May God grant that we renew the kingdom and seek it first. And there is no knowing what additions God will make, what additions he will make in 2005. May that be so, shall we pray. Our Father, we commend to thee thy word. We thank thee for its solemn searching of our souls. We ask that thou would give us grace to put ourselves beneath the searchlight of Holy Scripture. We ask that its ray will purify from our hearts every unholy affection. And we look to thee, O God, that within the chamber and the citadel of our wills, that kingdom principles and loyalties might be renewed. and whatever days are further granted to us, that thou wilt help us to bow in complete submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he is worthy of our affections, and he is worthy of our allegiance. We pray that we may give these unreservedly to him, as we thank thee for them, and seek thy blessing as we make our way home from the meeting. Grant revival and renewal amongst us, we cry, in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Number 647. 647, we'd sing very briefly. I bow me to thy will, O God, and all thy ways adore. Now, I think that one verse will do. We're fairly over the time, a few minutes. The first verse of 647, and we may stand to sing.